stretch out, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin, good morning, listeners, to another episode of Shoe Geeks from the Inside Running Podcast, the April edition 2021. I'm joined by my co-host, Julian Spence, the owner of the running company Ballarat. How are you going, Julian?
I'm good, mate. How are you going on this fine morning?
Yes, it's raining here in Adelaide, so that's why the hair's all a bit naturally fuzzy. So, yeah. Tommy, how's things going in North Sydney? He's on his phone this morning. We're just trying to accommodate some technical difficulties with Sydney internet.
Yeah, not bad. Just got in from a sort of medium long run in and just had to deal with this technical shit, which I'm not good at. So,
you mean the internet? It's been around for a while now, mate. 20 years or so.
Why are we seeing your hair this morning?
No, because it's Nets are playing today, so on game day, I wear the hat or the jersey or the jacket or the pants, shorts, you know.
And you're a real supporter because none of your stars are playing today, so true supporter watching the B team.
Hey, none of our stars. Landry Shamet, Joe Harris. They are the real stars. They're the ones getting the boys to the playoffs, and then the big fellas just step up when they need to.
Tommy has no idea what you're talking about.
No, we shouldn't talk about it.
Switching off, just like when you talk about that crap in the messenger.
Well, Tommy, what did you wear for your long run, the medium long run this morning? Tell us about your rotation this month.
So I had Nimbus Light 2 this morning. Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty much easy runs. I'm rotating between that and the Kayano Light and the Nike Invincible. Yeah, so I've had a bit of an annoyed plantar fascia. The heel's been a bit pissed off, so the combination of the cushion from the Invincible, it likes that for the contact pain. It likes that, but then lack of stability in it, sort of not sure about that. So the other shoes, like particularly the Kayano Light, it's been pretty good. It's been a good shoe back in the rotation.
Tell us a bit about this plantar fascia, mate. Like for the listeners, what's going on with it, and you know, does it hurt when you hit the ground or come off the ground? What shoe's better for it?
I haven't had it literally for like 20 years. And obviously I treat people with it every day, but yeah, it's a real shit injury, right? It's right on the heel, the attachment to the heel. So I have predominantly the pain for me is contact pain. So when the heel hits the ground, so I'm managing it with a combination of just cushioning, but also having the stability as best I can in there as well. So it's like it's cushioned when I contact, but it's still stable enough that it's not overstretching the fascia too much.
Are you using if it hurts some impact, you're using like a little in-shoe device to take pressure from the heel, put it forward, or?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Here we go.
Form Thotty. Form it. And I've just knocked up a little bit of, added a little bit of extra EVA.
Bit of flare.
Just distal to, so my pain's like right here. So I popped on the grinder and ground out some of the material here and added just distal to it. So just to move that pressure point a little bit higher. Seems to work well. So I'm just kind of, I'm running through it. I haven't had to really cut back volume yet, but I've cut out a bit of intensity.
Do you still have a pair of those Rocket glide rides floating around that you might consider wearing?
Yeah. So they're pretty good too. They're pretty good too.
Because I've had it for a long time and I found that getting into Rocket shoes like the Glide Ride or some different Hockers have New Balance more, they really helped me run through it with less flare-ups or less post-run soreness probably.
Well, that's the beauty of this injury, isn't it? You can still sort of collect some running, just sort of drop your intensity and modify your footwear for a period of time.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, just snuck up on me.
What have you been doing faster stuff in then? You haven't been doing as much faster stuff, but what have you been using?
So I got, most recently, I got a pair of the Asics Metaspeed Sky. So it's now the bring it out. Their version of the, you know, part of the Super Shoe game now, this guy. So decent stack. And finally, I reckon a shoe that's from ASICS that's competing with the other Super Shoes, like Next Percent.
Isn't that funny? Remember when they released the Meta Racer for the first time and it was a Super Shoe?
No.
It was never a Super Shoe.
It just makes you realize that, yeah. I mean, some people kind of, even myself, I was trying to like kid myself a little bit at the beginning that it may be, but it just didn't have the, I don't think it had the stack height. I didn't have the level of cushion.
Absolutely.
But this,
well, we got to look at the factors that go into it. What makes a Super Shoe super? Is it stack height, foam, plate, geometry?
All three.
All that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had all none that. Of
it. All that. What's the threshold? Yeah, who knows? But, yeah, it's just like it's a lot. I reckon you got to get up towards that upper limit that World Athletics is set. I reckon once you're heading up towards that upper limit, it's going to be more like a Super Shoe. And the foam, it's got to be a new age foam. It's got to be one of these, like, foams that can give you the cushion and response while still being extremely lightweight. And so this, like, finally, like, it actually weighs the same as the Next Percent. And I reckon the cushion properties are pretty, like, it's pretty well cushioned up there with that. So I reckon it's probably, well, out of the ones I've tried, it's up there. It's, like, on that sort of level. Performance.
What's the biggest workout you've done in it so far?
Not much. I've done a 6K tempo. That's it.
And yeah, how did, like, what were the differences underfoot compared to the Next Percent?
Yeah, so I did find it a touch firmer, like you did. I've heard some people think it's softer. So obviously, it's like it's with any sort of feature of a shoe, it can be perceptually different for people. But for me, it was like and same as you, I think. Julian, it was a touch firmer. It was pretty poppy. Like, to me, it felt probably just as good in push-off, just didn't quite have that softness on impact. And, like, the drop, like, for me, the drop doesn't suit me. Like, it's 5 mil and it feels almost negative drop. So, again, like the magic speed, I had to have the heel lifts in this one to sort of be able to get out the door and just start using it like I would with other shoes that are high drop.
What have you worn it for so far? Oh, you wore it the half marathon, didn't you, in Hobart?
Me, yeah. So I, like, this suits the shape of my foot a little better. I'll just sort of show you why I like it. You can see there's a bit more width through this area. If I compare it to the Next Percent next to it, you see how narrow that is through the rear foot and the midfoot. So I actually enjoy having a bit more through that sort of, I guess, more footprint underneath. So that was a big factor in why I liked it. And also having a lower drop, I've sort of got some knee niggles right now. So taking that sort of theory that less shoe underfoot or less heel-to-toe offset unloads the knee a little more, that's why I rolled with it. And yeah, I felt like the rocker was probably a little later in the toe off sort of stage of gait. I felt maybe a little bit more propulsion later on, especially walking compared to the Next Percent. And I'm not sure how that affected my calves, but I did have slightly sore calves after the race compared to normal. But that could have been my knee thing going on, change of gait, looking after my injury. So yeah, I'm just happy they brought out a shoe that, like, it's the foam for me. The foam feels really good underfoot.
And from a retail perspective, ASICS have such a name here in Oceania. Has it caught on, like, a lot of leverage in terms of sales, people like, requesting it? And
yeah, the problem is quantity or, like, availability, because there was only a certain number, I think about 100 pairs hit the country and it got divvied up to the stores. So we got 5 pairs of men's. They're all sold. There's still ladies' pairs available. So you don't get a real chance to test out how in demand it was when the volume is that low. If we had 50 pairs and it sold, then that's a high-demand shoe because that's going to be more in line with how Next Percent sells. But, yeah, it's just hard to know when they're that low.
A lot of hype around it.
It feels good. I mean, Sarah Hall, it came out the same time Beth Potter ran that 14:41 5K, And everyone was like, this shoe is like a super shoe. It's taken a 15-20 girl to 14-41. We need it. So that helped it, I reckon.
And people gravitating to doing reviews, which you love, Julian, saying it's the Vaporfly killer, as they've been saying for 3 to 4 years. But I guess the big question is, if all you guys had to run a marathon tomorrow, is there a shoe on the market that you'd wear over the next percent right now, or the Alphafly?
Not on the market yet. So, look, you could wear it for that, but for me, my decision still comes down to between Alpha and Next Percent right now. We're going to see some big entries to the market mid-May and then early June that might compete. And so our marathon, Tom, is in early July, so there's a few more contenders that we've got to put to the test.
Bring it on. Yeah, I reckon, so I'd probably wear Next Percent like tomorrow if I was going to race in half or full. But anyone that finds, say, those, like the ZoomX, a touch soft, there probably are some people out there that find it maybe a little bit mushy or a little bit unstable, then this could be better for them. It's like, I reckon it's probably like a touch more stable, and obviously it's not, I don't think it's quite as soft, so a little bit more poppy. Not as firm and poppy as like an Endorphin Pro. It's way softer than that, but like more towards the Next Percent. But yeah, like for stability or for a little bit more responsiveness rather than softness, maybe people would pick it over a Next Percent or an Alpha.
Makes sense. Maybe a bigger runner as well.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
People have sore knees. Maybe.
People have sore knees. What have you been wearing, Julian?
So I've been wearing a lot of the same training shoes, like jogging shoes, but I have been sampling this one. This is the Nike Air Zoom Pegasus 38. So an update on the 37. We see the same outer sole, midsole construction. So same cushioning, everything under the foot remains the same. It's just a change in upper. And if I sort of just try to show you the difference, I've got the 38 here and the 37. The 37, I actually really like the underfoot feel of the 37. It's a bit firmer than other training shoes I have, but it feels light and it's quite easy to get going on some longer runs. The problem I had was how shallow the toe box, especially how it tapers here. I used to have big toe issues, like banging at the end right there. And so I'd actually gone up a half size in the Peg 38. You can see it's a little boxier. And the mesh is more of a neoprene type softer mesh. So I reckon, like, I don't get that same big toe issue because, I mean, I went up half size, so 5 mil longer, a little bit more volume. But
have they changed the heel counter?
They have, yeah. So it's not a huge change.
A bit more volume.
You can see they've just reduced that sort of elfish bit a little more. So on the 38, it's a little straighter with less kickback. Yep. If I try to show you,
is the lockdown better?
I see.
That was lockdown, my mate.
Yeah, the lockdown's way better. The lacing in this shoe, if you have a quick look, all these tied out. They used to call it dynamic lacing. I don't think they call it out anymore. But this is brilliant. So when I tighten it, I just find like everything really grips, and it was kind of vice-like through the midfoot. So I've actually really. The couple of runs I've run in this, I've really enjoyed it. Maybe a little firmer, and I'm used to the Invincible now, so it's sort of hard to come back off that really soft feel. But, yeah, I think it's good for you.
Everything else feels firm after running in the Invincible. Like no. Things that were cushioned before, they're like, this is firm. This is
hard. Yeah. And the Invincible for me is it's gone back to a real cruiser. I can't run fast in it. I can't even really pick the pace up in easy runs in it. So now it's been sort of put aside for that real recovery run for me, where I actually don't want to pick any pace up. I just want to cruise as much as I can.
Reminds me of the very first time I put on a Hoka. I think it was like 2003, the Bondi B. Remember that one?
Yeah. Well, that was the only one they had, was it?
Yeah,
that and the Stinson?
Yeah. And it was just like, this is a different experience. So just like you put it on, you're like, this, yeah, it was just like a crazy feel compared to what was on the market back in like whatever it was, 2003, 2004. And then, yeah, this is kind of a little bit like that. You go back to other shoes after the Invincible and it's like, oh, it's,
yeah.
But I reckon I had a little bit, I OD'd a bit on it. I got a bit carried away with it and just that, just the amount of softness. It's just good to mix it up. Like, it's nice for some of those recovery days, but I reckon, yeah, I don't know.
I think you're right. I think it's a second shoe. I think it's a second shoe. Just because, like you said, OD on it. It's really soft. It's unstable. And I like to be planted too with some of these shoes. Like, I like, we got a New Balance shoe that we're testing out. Not your one, Tom, the one that we're all sharing. And, and I like the feeling of something firm and stable and kind of almost heavy underfoot. So I guess the other shoe that I've been using is the ASICS Magic Speed. So the Magic Speed is the kind of takedown almost of the Sky or the Meta Speed Sky. It uses a different foam, so Flight Foam Blast rather than Flight Foam Turbo.
That's the foam that's in the Nova Blast.
That's right, and the Nova Blast was such a fun shoe. This uses a carbon plate but sits only through the forefoot. And, I mean, it's a really simple shoe. So this, to me, is the new age traditional racing flat, if that makes sense. We have here, we have the new age racing flat for long distances, and this, to me, is the, I guess, more versatile, covers all surfaces, a bit snappier underfoot, less expensive type race flat. So
what does it retail at?
It's $250. So it's a kind of, it's still an expensive traditional flat, but you do get a lot more out of it than you do like a, say a Hyperspeed, which is also in the market at like 180. Whereas you could pay a little bit more, get a plate to make it snappier, get more foam underfoot. And for me, which is a really nice upper too. So, this will be a cross-country shoe for me all year. The traction's really good. I do all my strides in it. If I was going to do hill repeats, I'd do it. I think a lot of people with a higher stack height can get away with it as a, like a tempo type shoe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I reckon this is actually a really nice introduction to their range because there are like limitations of the super shoes, where you can take them, how stable they are, that kind of thing.
Should we touch on the Edge that's coming out?
Nah, let's wait, I reckon, because later. We haven't seen it. We don't really know. Yeah, let's do it next month maybe.
The guests might know a bit about it as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, well, I've jumped back into a bit of running this last month as well. The shoe that I've been wearing predominantly we can't talk about just yet. So Julian touched on a New Balance shoe that's nice and stable. But what I have been wearing recently has been the second iteration of the Rebel. You would have seen a lot of this on social media. And just for comparison's sake, I've got the original here, sorry. This is the Rebel 1. And, you know, it's a bit beaten up as well. I've funnily enough, only really use this shoe for two major purposes for, like, short reps, like reps of 200s and 400s and predominantly hill reps, etc. So so what I did, I've basically used this for drills, strides and a couple of jogs. It is without a doubt the softest shoe I put on my foot, I reckon. The foam is the same foam they place into their racing shoes, like the RC Elite, but it has no plate in it, so it's really compliant. So it flexes with ease. I can bend it back the other way with no force at all. It looks good. It weighs, I think it's low 200 grams for me. It might be even a little bit under for size 10. But it does bottom out. Like I'm probably weighing about 68, 69 kilos, and I hit the ground with relatively high impact. If I'm on grass, I don't notice it, but on a harder surface, I do notice it. So I was saying to Julian off air before, Tom, that the shoes changed dramatically from the first iteration, but I'd probably use it for the exact same purpose. I'd probably use it for shorter reps and probably some hill climbs. But I haven't used it for a tempo run, but I know you have, haven't you?
I used it for like a bit of a fart, like fast, short, sharp fart. Like I think it was like 10, continuous 10 by 500 on, 250 off. So a little bit of like a little bit of easy running and then some fast running. I really liked it. I did it on footpath. I actually did some strides on the synthetic and it just felt almost, there was too much soft on soft and didn't feel that. Felt really good on the footpath. I reckon.
Tom, can I just ask you, like, why, given you've got super shoes with plates in them that are going to feel faster, why would you pick the Rebel to do that workout in over one of your plated shoes? Say the RC Elite, right?
So I normally will do these sorts of sessions on the synthetic in spikes, or like traditionally it used to be like the streaks, Nike Streak.
Mm.
So I like to use a lighter, more minimal shoe for the short, sharp sessions.
When you say synthetic, do you mean the track?
No, sorry. It's a grass, like an Astro.
Oh, yeah.
It's grass. It's more forgiving than synthetic track. It's a nice sort of softish sort of Astro turf. I actually like the feeling of some flexibility in a shoe occasionally. I just like, you know, I was wearing the Invincible a lot, I get a bit sick of too much of something, and I can get a bit sick of too much plate and too much stiffness. I actually really like the feeling of something that's light and flexible. Last winter I was wearing a fair bit. You were sort of alluding to the fact that maybe it's not very stable, but I mean, last winter I was wearing pretty much every Saturday the Victory Cross Country spikes for like 10K plus volume sessions, like actually quite high volume sessions. So if I can, I think like most people that aren't like too heavy and have relatively experienced, if you ease into like a shoe like that, I don't think the injury risk is inherently too much, because it's relatively cushioned and no more flexible than like a cross country spike.
Except if you hit the whole shoe, like from rear foot to forefoot collectively together, the shoe has a lot of space to deform. But if you hit a small side of the shoe when you're running fast, of course it's stable. It's just that this shoe, if you hit the ground like maybe a traditional runner who's not as experienced put the shoe on because of the marketing hype attached to it, it is quite an unstable shoe if you're spending a lot of time on the ground. But if you're running 305s, 310s through cross country and Centennial Park, like you are, you're probably a pretty stable runner regardless of what you're putting on your foot.
So what would you classify as more unstable or hazardous for a runner, wearing, doing all their sessions in a Next Percent or a Rebel?
I'm going to say Rebel here.
Mm.
And I
question what injury you're looking for as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So can you guys explain from a podiatry perspective how going to an uber flexible, unstable shoe, and when I say unstable, I mean like really soft, like the Rebel is, very flexible, going to a shoe like that for someone with plantar fasciitis, how that may contribute or may sort of stir it up?
It depends. Like, you know, if you have a really compliant shoe, a really soft shoe beneath your foot, normally you hit the ground, you know, your brain reacts and normally your body becomes a bit stiffer. And so your tissues that make you a bit stiffer will probably work a bit harder. So I'd find if I wore this shoe a fair bit, I'd probably have a few Achilles issues and maybe a few more calf issues perhaps. I mean, you know, if your shoe's pretty compliant as well, I find if I'm in a really, really soft shoe, sometimes I'll claw my toes a bit, and that might be a bit of a risk factor for like loading up your intrinsic muscles of your foot as well. But I don't get issues because of that, but I know some of the population probably would. Like if someone hit the heel really hard in this shoe, it would bottom out so quickly that perhaps maybe they get a few more impact loads through the post, like the plantar heel as well. So depends on how you hit the ground, to be honest, and it depends on your body weight as to whether this shoe will be in your rotation, I'd say.
And how you use the shoe, whether like, because it's marketed and it potentially could be used as a daily trainer at easy paces.
Yeah.
Or it could be a session shoe. And I reckon, yeah, like you're saying, like the way you hit it and what you use it for is a big difference. I reckon, you know, for just practical sense, people out there, if they have loved and used the Peg Turbo, I don't see there like being a big difference in terms of like how it feels and the flexibility factor and the softness factor. So if people have had no issues with injury and have been comfortable and they like the Peg Turbo, I reckon that's pretty safe comparison.
That's fair.
Yep.
As a retailer, I feel like we've got more specific with shoes lately. And if someone wants a training shoe that's maybe safer and easier, then they've got options there. And then if someone, like, I think we should be encouraging people to have shoes for purposes. And so to go faster in, there's so many great shoes out there to go faster in. And then there's so many more stable cushion shoes to go slower in. I guess, like, I understand that there are shoes to sort of do it all, you know, the one shoe to rule them all. But for me, like, I like to be more specific in my shoe selection.
It definitely is, like, the outsole is designed as a more of a daily trainer. Like, I found the original, the Rebel Ones had such nice grip on the outsole that was great for track. It was it just had a really good feel to it when I was doing heel reps over short distances. Whereas the new one does feel like a bit more of a traditional daily trainer outsole, and definitely more surface area for the shoe, but the shoe's a lot more compliant. So it probably has changed its direction.
The old one too.
Way more stack, yeah. So it's a little bit deceiving though. Like if you push the midsole in a little bit as well, you're not sitting that high on the shoe. You're sitting around about maybe 3/4 of the way up. It's just designed to look a lot more stack, I think. So, but there is more than the original for sure.
Mm. Cool.
Great shoe.
Should we bring the guest in then?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
How are we doing? Can you hear me?
Hey guys. I'll introduce the next guest. He's also another podiatrist. So Julian's geeked out with three other podiatrists, and he's actually sitting, strangely enough, across the corridor here at Spark. This is Matthew Clark, who's a very good runner and also podiatrist. And so Matty's got PBs. Actually, they're up here. 3:42 for the 1500. He ran 8:32 to run fourth in the national steeples on Sunday. And he also has a 28:39 10K as well. So Matt's been here in Adelaide for about 2 years, I reckon, and runs with Team Tempo and runs with ASICS Footwear as part of that deal as well. So it'll be good to chat to Matt a little bit about some of the ASICS Footwear that's been released in the recent times. And but how are you going this morning, Matty?
Yeah, going really good. Thanks for having me on.
The gym class upstairs, you can't hear it too badly or what?
No, I've got these new AirPods that I got for my birthday. So they're noise cancelling, so I can't hear a thing, which is nice.
nice poster.
Yeah, they're knitters.
I mean, knitters.
Do you know that poster Viren, in the back?
You can't see that. Carl Lewis.
They spelt his name wrong in there. They called him Viren, not Viren. So great poster. Love it, but they spelt his name wrong. So
now, Matt. You've been running with ASICS for what, 2 years now?
Yeah, probably just shy of 2 years. Yeah.
You'd be pretty, you'd be one of the happiest men to see what they're doing lately versus 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
So what are the biggest changes? Yeah, what are the biggest changes you've seen from ASICS since you started running with them?
Well, so when I first jumped in to their shoes, their premium racing flat was the Tather Edge, and that was like they literally marketed it as like an old traditional style racing flat. That was like EVA, really thin midsole, and nice lockdown, but nothing really up to date with you know, like Tiber foam, no carbon plate, no rocker sole. And then they moved on to the Meta Racer, which I've got here. So I moved on to that. That was a good upgrade from the Tather Edge, I think. And I think speaking to some runners, and I think they're going to find that with the Meta Speed Edge when it comes out, I think it suited a heel striker really well. So it's got a really distal rocker on it. So for me, I didn't rate it too much because I kind of hit the ground right up past where most of the rocker is, but speaking of a few guys that were like pretty heavy heel strikers, they really got to take advantage of a big roll throughout the shoe. So when they released the Metaspeed Sky and it's got almost the most distal rocker that I've ever put on, that just suited my gait perfectly. So the way they've kind of evolved over the last 2 years, I just feel like they've been creating the shoe slowly more and more specific for myself until we're at this now, which is probably like the best road shoe I reckon I've ever worn.
Do you think that's something that runners should be looking for when they're purchasing one, is where they're getting their, like where the rocker sits in the shoe? A rocker further back might suit someone with a rear foot strike, and like the Sky or the Meta Sky, more further forward for a rear foot, for a four foot striker.
No, certainly. Like I think, if you've got a rocker that's really like proximal in the shoe, really far back, and you're a big four foot striker, you're basically missing half of that rocker. And I found when I was hitting the shoe, it was almost encouraging me to like hit more back into the shoe and have a really unnatural gait pattern. Whereas when the Metaspeed Sky came out and it's got that really distal rocker in it, because it's also distal, it's really aggressive too to get over the stack height. I just find I get so much more propulsion out of it than some of the other racing shoes. So and the good thing is now like all the brands kind of have a Piba sole full carbon plated shoe. So it's all the same technology there. You can now just pick a shoe that geometrically suits your needs a bit more than others.
Have you been able to do much in it, Matt?
I've done a little bit in it. I don't train heaps in it. I've been training a fair bit in the Noosa 13. So I find I kind of have to
show that shoe up again. Show that shoe up on the screen. A lot of people haven't seen that.
Yeah, so this is a new gel Noosa 13. It's a major update from the 12. The 12 was really traditional racing flat. I don't have that on me, but basically it's a stiff sole, so it still flexes a bit. There's no plate in it, so it does flex, but it's quite stiff.
Is that an Evo Ride?
Yeah, so it's the same midsole as the Evo Ride 2.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
and
so it's got the same.
Noosa, was that DS they used to do for the Noosa?
The DS trainer without the medial posting.
Okay. That's a good upgrade. Yeah. That's a good upgrade.
Yeah, it's a very good upgrade. So I find this probably one of the best training shoes I've ever worn. It doesn't have that like really reboundy foam that the Sky has, but it's just a lot more, like, because it's a firmer foam, it's a lot more stable. And I train a lot on like softer gravel paths as well. So I just find that the wear's a lot better on it. It's a lot better around corners. And because it does have that bit of flex, I find too, it just, I think like you were saying before, Tom, it just feels a bit nicer to train in more regularly than something that's really stiffly plated all the time.
And you responded pretty well to the original Evo Ride as well, didn't you? With that sort of more distal rocker, you found that shoe to be somewhat responsive. And this is probably even more stable than what it historically was, more surface area beneath the foot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, certainly, yes. I think I've got the original Evo right here. I don't know. So especially through that midfoot, it's a lot more, wider. Mm. Yeah, a lot more surface area. And you definitely notice that, especially going around turns, et cetera, when your foot's rolling around a bit more in the shoe. You definitely notice that.
And you would have enjoyed.
There you go.
Sorry, you keep going. You go.
Oh yeah, I was saying the foam's maybe a bit firmer in the than the update, but I find it's a bit more like responsive though, which I like.
And you would have enjoyed moving from some of the traditional ASICS footwear back in the day. You would have worn maybe, I don't know what you would have started off with, maybe the Dynaflights, etc., for your daily trainer, to the Nova Blast, and they brought out, you know, slightly higher stack daily trainers as well. And they're still doing that pretty well, and now they've moved it into racing shoes. So what's your current rotation of shoes, which you're sort of rolling around throughout a weekly cycle?
So I do probably the majority in, like you said, the Nova Blast. I've got that here. I like bright colour shoes. I'm getting around in that. That's 40 mil. That's got the FF Blast foam, which is their soft, responsive foam that I think everyone's got to know pretty well now. I've been doing a fair bit as well in the Glide Ride as well. So just particularly for like my midweek long run. So I do my midweek long run in the afternoon on Wednesday. I work out rurally on Wednesday and I run around the farms there, and I find my legs are a bit tired just after work. So I put the Glide Ride on and it kind of just takes a bit of the zap out of my legs for the first half an hour while they're waking up a bit. And, hey, and then, yeah.
Sorry, Matt. No, you go. I thought you were done.
I might do one or two runs a week just in a random rotation shoe. So whether that be a like a Nimbus Lite or an old Kayano Lite or just an old Evo ride, I just like mixing it up one day a week.
From a podiatry perspective, what sort of mistakes do you see, or what sort of mistakes surprise you that your training partners are making with their footwear? So if you rock up to training and you're like, what are you guys thinking with that shoe? Or does it shock you how little like elite runners know about shoes?
Yeah. Like I've heard before someone say, oh yeah, the Nova Blaster feels way too hard. And I kind of feel like, yeah, for most experienced runners, that kind of surprises me, especially when they go through all their different kinds of shoes. I thought they'd kind of pick up those nuances between the shoes pretty easily. But I guess probably the one thing I have noticed is the pretty slow uptake of carbon plated shoes throughout my group. So a fair few of our group still train in a traditional DS trainer, which I don't really like that much, but a lot of them get around in.
I guess they got to send DS trainers somewhere. They just send them to Adelaide.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a nice looking shoe. Like, the upper on that shoe is like one of the best uppers they've made. Like the knit's really nice. The midsole just needs an update.
Mm. It used to be a midsole that was much, you know, it felt like much more substance beneath the foot, but I found it sort of hollowed out a little bit under the forefoot, and even in the rear foot, to be honest. It hollowed out as time went on, just trying to reduce weight. Mm-hmm. And then with the, you know, the advent of all these high stack super foam shoes, they feel like there's a couple parts of their former, I guess, premium shoe range that have become a bit more obsolete now. So you have so much selection in your shoe range for ASICS footwear now. And I mean, you've also historically, prior to running with Team Tempo, you wore the Next Percent, and you wore some shoes like that on road, and now you get to wear the ASICS equivalent. And as you guys touched on before, you know, different foot strikes tend to respond to different shoes. And do you think, you know, you'll run the road this winter and you'll probably jump into the Metaspeed Sky. Do you think you'll wear it for things like the 5K and 10K on road as well?
Oh yeah, certainly. Yeah, I think even maybe a road mile. I went to Leonora one year and I did the mile in back then. I wasn't with ASICS. I wore the 4% fly knit. And I remember going, I brought a traditional racing flat up as well. I wore that in the heat. And then I did some strides, tried it around the corner. I thought, even in a road mile, I just like the extra foam and the carbon plate. So I think even for a road mile, I'd go the Metaspeed Sky.
Absolutely.
Mm. Mm. Now, talk us through those spikes you wore at the steeple on the weekend.
Yeah, so I got them here. Cosmo LD2.
They are some low shoes, aren't they?
Where's the rest of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So they have pretty traditional racing spikes. They've got built-in spikes in them. They're actually, I don't know if you can see them, but they are flat. So they're designed, I guess, like Christmas tree spikes. They compress the ground and rebounds. And they've got a bit of a heel in them. So I think probably the closest comparison I could say to them is they feel like the original, the Nike Zoom Victory, like the original one, the first model, but it has a small heel raise in it that you definitely notice. That'd be the best way to describe it.
Right. I'd love to hear like your thought process around that, like around you at Nationals, all the hype and talk around like say the Dragonflies and how you're feeling on the start line. Like, do you feel like you're at a disadvantage not having like a super shoe tech in a spike?
I think maybe fortunately for me, I maybe do the one event that. Like if there is a bit of an advantage, it's nullified a little bit with the barriers. So like I know, like I'd, for example, I'd never do a steeple session in a plated shoe. Like I just think jumping off the ground in a rocket plated shoe, at least a flat, would feel quite foreign and all over the place to me. And then like stepping on the barrier too, like I kind of like when I step on barriers, like I kind of don't mind a bit of that downward flex a bit in a shoe. Just to kind of grip it a bit better. So I guess, you know, you might get a bit of advantage running between the barriers, but then I guess it's offset in the jumping phase. So I guess it's nullified a little bit as opposed to potentially the flat event.
And this year you managed to run a 5K PB. You ran 13:52 in those traditional spikes as well. And actually some of your competitors also wear traditional Saucony shoes in that same race as well. ASICS have got some prototypes on the market now for spikes. We've seen them on Instagram. Some of your training partners have them as well. And you know, your foot's unfortunately too big to get the prototype, so it makes it difficult. So, but in saying that, I have seen a couple of the spikes in the flesh, and they do have more foam. They're about that sort of 20 to 24 mils in sort of how much foam they have beneath the foot. So right under 25 mil current World Athletics legislation. And with carbon plates in them as well. And that is exciting. Like that's the, I've seen a few of them going around in the past couple of months, and the foam under them, like, let's talk a bit about the foam in those. They're not like, they're a PIBA mix, but they look more like what I would say Skechers Hyperburst you sort of mentioned, or even more like the New Balance Fuel Cell type foam.
Yeah, certainly. So I think originally when Zoom X came, so I had a pair of the original 4%, and it was almost like a sponge. Like I remember I was doing workouts, and when I was living in Melbourne, it rained a lot, and I remember the shoe just getting waterlogged, especially after it wore out a bit and the paint came off the bottom a bit. I remember the shoes would just get waterlogged, whereas I think the new ones coming out, especially the foam acid, I mean, it's PIBA foam, but I guess whatever they're doing to it, it just seems a bit more, I guess, bubbly instead of spongy.
Have you got, Tom, you have the Skechers, don't you? Or
do I have them?
Did you grab them or was it you?
No, I got no Skechers, mate.
Nah, okay, So I've seen the midsole of them in the flesh. I'm not sure who I saw them from as well, but they look a bit like that as their foam. And so I'm interested to see, like, I know other brands will be bringing out a spike that is closer to the Dragonfly, but it looks like ASICS have a few probably ready to go for Tokyo as well. So there'll be, they'll be the sort of spikes you'll probably try and gravitate to in the future when you get the opportunity, when the sizing hits you as well. And I guess a question for you is, you know, you do a lot of, like, training in spikes for your steeple as well, and you're wearing a traditional spike. Do you see the advantage not just being on the day, but the fact that perhaps maybe people can handle maybe a bit more training dose in those shoes that are a bit more compliant? You wake up the next day and you probably don't, you're not as sore from the track sessions because you're in a bit more shoe as well?
I think it depends on the athlete a little bit. Certainly if you're prone to, like, you know, lower leg soreness and injuries, then yes, like, for sure, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, if you're not, you've got pretty strong calves and Achilles, and you can, like, I can get around punching out two pretty good track sessions a week for a few months and my legs hold up fine. So potentially it's more of just a, you can take shortcuts and not condition as well, potentially.
Mm. True.
Matt, you're pretty tight with the ranking points, aren't you, for getting to Tokyo with your time. What are your plans to try to improve your position and maybe snag a spot to get to the Olympics?
The biggest concern I have after last weekend is I finished in fourth. So I guess it's all well and good to finish in the rankings, but I kind of figure if I'm the fourth Australian, though, I'm not going to get selected anyway. So I guess the time now is just run quick, and if I run fast enough, get close enough to the qualifier, then I guess the points will just follow.
Yeah, so hypothetical, you run faster than Nipah, you run faster than Bucks, but your ranking points don't go ahead of them. Does that, when the selection gets made, is it more an invite system from the World Athletics, or is it Australia using their discretion there? How does that work?
Yeah, so I've heard mixed things. I've heard one coach say that, it's like a roll down system. So they invite people, whoever's highest first. So it's like more athlete focused rather than country focused, which would then mean that as long as you're the top three Australian on rankings, you get offered the spot first.
Yeah.
But then I've also heard that it may be more of like a qualification type system, more like the time, in the sense that if you have four Australians in there, the country can just pick which three they want to send.
Okay.
That would make it a bit more of a discussion, I guess, for the selectors, and and how they want to pick that. But I guess ultimately, if it is like that, judging off history, they tend to, at least for the third spot, they tend to pick whoever's got the fastest season best.
It's kind of crazy. We're in that position now, like where we don't actually know what's going to happen with that stuff. Like the marathon has something like 150 people qualified with spots for it, but there's only 80 start line spots, and they're in a position now where they can't tell people who have qualified that they can't go to the Olympics, so they just have to open spots up.
Yeah, they're running like everyone who gets to qualify now. There's going to be a huge field.
Yeah, which I love, but creates a bit of logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Just a quick one. I know you've got your current favourites in shoes as well. You've been running for a long time. Do you have any sort of historical shoes that you remember that were just a true favourite for you, like a daily trainer or even to, you know, a racing flat that you may have worn in your time?
Yeah. Oh, I remember the Pegasus when it was really high and cushy.
Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, I was about 34. It was when they like fluoro yellow. It was a fluoro yellow color. I had like an all blue bright color. I think it was like 2014 or something, or 2013 even.
Yeah, that's 34. Yeah,
before they started making them really thin, and that shoe just felt awesome. It was just so soft and flush and bouncy. And then they kind of went a bit downhill for a couple of years, making it a bit more racery. But it looks like they're returning back to that style now. It's a bit more cush. That was good. But I remember when I was in school, I didn't run heaps in school, but when I did, I used to just do everything in streaks, XCs.
Wow. That's why your calves can handle the load now in traditional, you know, low-profile ASIC shit spikes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I remember Moose saying that when he was at college, he used to do everything in racing flats. Like, the foam was just better back then in the flat. And, like, that's what I found. I just thought it was so much better.
I just remember, it wasn't me who did it, but I got there and the entire team went for easy runs wearing their race flats. And they all ran beautifully, kind of like you, you know, like just sort of real midfoot, super smooth. And I was there in like the Nike Equilon and just smashing along. And everyone's looking around like, who is making all the noise? Funnily enough, the softest shoe made the loudest noise. It doesn't seem like it should, but I could get why someone growing up as a junior, it would be nice to wear those sorts of shoes for to sort of develop maybe a more natural stride.
And I still think even the foams themselves, the quality of the foam can influence that a fair bit. Like I've done a couple of strides now in the new the ASIC shoe, and I find I can't hit the ground quite as hard as I can in that shoe like I could in the next percent. The next percent's much more absorbent on the ground. So if I ran downhill, I'd prefer the next percent. But I reckon just running on my midfoot, forefoot, I probably reckon I'd get a bit more response out of the ASICs. So they're quite different in how they react. And I'm not sure how I'd find, you know, the ASICs at the end of a marathon, but I might prefer it for 10K on the road, perhaps for my gait.
Hey, why don't we do the listener question with Matt on the show and he can have first crack at it.
Perfect.
So this week's listener question comes from Ryan Shand. He asks, what's the general consensus on shoe changes during a long run? E.g., if you have some marathon efforts either during or at the end of the long run, is it okay to take 5 minutes to swap or suck it up and hit the efforts in the long run shoe?
Cool. I think you guys are kind of be a bit more qualified to answer this than me. But I know Jess has done it a couple of times. She does it in a marathon prep. So she'll do, I think there's one session she did. She did a 30K long run and she breaks it up 10, 10, 10K getting faster. And I know she puts she stops and puts her race shoes on for the last 10K. And that certainly makes sense for me. Like, you're definitely practicing running at marathon pace. I guess you want to practice running it in the shoes. So it makes sense in my head to do that.
I think it's different now when we have these racing shoes that are actually really cushioned and more rigid. You can get away with more time in them than you could in racing shoes in the past. So, we always take time to change our shoes over. And for some, say it's like where we do our long runs, you wouldn't wear these types of super shoes. So it's trails or it's rocky, and then we come back up and do our marathon efforts on the road. So it makes sense to change shoes, and I don't think it's a problem at all. It's just more specific to the training. So yeah, I think it's a good move to do that.
I'll mix it up here. I reckon it's probably good to look at specificity. And like you said, I think with the super shoes, it's different to when we used to run a marathon in just like the lightest weight shoe possible. I reckon it's possible. It's probably easier, a lot easier now just to do like a whole session, a long run in the marathon shoe, like a super shoe. And I found almost, it's like there's some, there was pros and cons, but the benefits of keeping the same shoe on is that you're just getting more time in the shoe that you're going to be racing your marathon or your half in. And in the marathon, you're not going to get a psychological boost from changing your shoe halfway through. You're going to have to run fast the whole distance in the same shoe that you started the race in. So I don't know. I reckon some key sessions you could swap, but I reckon others you might want to just pick up the pace, do slightly slower in your like your marathon ratio, but pick it up in that same shoe and forget about shoe changes. Like do a super long run with some marathon pace all in the super shoe. I could make that argument.
Well, they're safe now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Spoken by a man who has 9 super shoes in his cupboard.
Yeah. I was just thinking that. I'm like, oh, yeah, they cost 300 plus each. You go do 40K just jogging along in them. It's good for me. I would encourage this.
We're pretty lucky now that even some of the mileage shoes are pretty versatile. Like, I mean, I know you guys don't like the Infinity, don't wear them much as well, but I find I can run not far off marathon pace pretty comfortably. And then if I did my whole long
That's because your marathon pace is 4 minutes.
It's funny. That question came up and I thought one time I did like about maybe 20Ks in a pair of 1080s and then swapped over and did the last 20Ks in a pair of the Flyknit 4%. And it was 4 weeks before the marathon. I ran my marathon that day. It was like within 2 seconds per K pace the whole run. And I'm like, well, that's it. So I emptied the tank on the training run. But the shoes are so safe. I pulled up the next day and I thought I hadn't done a long run. So that's the difference. If I did that in a pair of, streaks or even streak fives, which I reckon I had. That was the last streak I had, I reckon, was streak 5 or streak 4. And I reckon I would have been taking 10 days to recover from that.
Yeah, that's the whole recovery thing. I reckon that's big, pulling up. Like in more recent years, I can do the Saturday session, Sunday long run with a bit of effort double and not feel shattered on a Monday. And I reckon that's a decent amount. I mean, obviously, the biggest thing is just conditioning over the years, but the shoes, I reckon, play a decent part in that for sure.
That's it. Cool. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. What's everyone got planned this next block of training? Matty, I'm assuming you're going to go on and chase some times for the steeplechase. You boys are going to be training for Gold Coast Marathon.
What's the plan, Matt? What races have you got to try and run faster?
Well, it's starting to get pretty cold down in Adelaide. So I think we're looking at chasing some of those Oceania permit meets up in Townsville. So, yeah, I'm having a bit of just a jog week this week, and then I'll start training back next week. And I think they're around June, July. So I might try to sneak maybe like a 5K in as like a warm-up race before it. I might not travel for that. But, they'll be the ones I think that will be most likely I'll be targeting.
When's the cutoff for qualification for steeple, do you know?
It'll be and middle end of July kind of thing. So these races are kind of designed as like last chance qualifying or last or like lead up race practice, and they'll kind of act in the same way whether I make it or not.
Cool.
And hypothetically, if we don't make it, you'll be pretty excited to put the Sky on your foot and race some road races this year as well. It's the first time you get to wear some super shoes on the road, which South Australian races last year, you could saw everyone sort of, some people had their Sauconis on, people been wearing their Nikes. And back then, the meta racer was the super shoe, which I think you got along with the Evo ride more than the meta racer. So this will be a big change for you.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people probably agreed with that because the I was trying to get a new pair of Evo rides before the race and I couldn't get my hands on any. They were sold out. Yeah, I had to race in the better race.
Yeah, funny. Yeah. All right, guys, that's good. That's April done.
What about you, Nitta?
Mate, I'm going to get back into some running. I'm actually going to go for some jog and strides now. I'm going to probably wear the Rebel 2 here. And I don't know, I'm just going to build my volume up very, very slowly, keep cycling. Aim is to get back for maybe the Gold Coast 10 as the first race, but if not, I'm in no rush. I'm happy to race fat for a while. So, you guys, you're whinging about your plantar fascia, mate, and I'd take 3 plantar fascias before osteitis pubis. Sorry, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, I had both at once, Nina.
You didn't have real osteitis pubis, mate.
Oh. Gee, you complain about it when I just ran through it.
Prednisone, yeah. All right, guys. You guys right, have a good month. Have a good month, all right?
Yep, thanks, cool.
Guys.
See ya.
All right. Chat to you guys later.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Thanks, Matt.
See ya. Doesn't matter if it's